I'm rolling now, so let's just jump right into this. Vikram, Craig from Dropleaf, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
It's going to be quite the dance we're doing here, because we have a Skype call three-way. Vikram, are you in Seattle?
I am, yeah.
And then Craig is in Illinois. Am I right about that, Craig?
That's correct. In the middle of nowhere in Illinois.
Congratulations. Lots of corn. I guess it's all been harvested by now. So there's a...
That's right.
There's a new highly anticipated... as a new highly anticipated game comes out, and the major blogs pick up on it, the usual like press rounds, IO9, IGN, stuff like that, we all talk about Destiny 2 for a month or two. Okay, fine, great. But for us, that's like a new Foo Fighters record coming out. It may be super good, but for every giant, there's a ton of people hustling to get noticed. So I'm excited about Dropleaf. Dudes, tell us what you've got going here and help us understand just how crowded the gaming space is. Vikram, I'll let you just start just to make this easier.
Sounds good. So Dropleaf is a subscription service for indie PC games. Craig, for example, is the developer behind Warcube, which is one of the sort of featured games on our service. It's great. It's awesome. You should play it. And we exist to solve a bunch of problems. And that is, when my co-founder and I looked at the space around independent games, we realized a couple of things. One, the process of finding the next game that you actually want to play really sucks. And it's very easy to find things you want to buy, right? My Steam library is full of games. I have like 200 games on Steam. But it regularly feels like that experience of opening my refrigerator and seeing a wall of food and going, well, there's clearly nothing to eat here. And then, going and ordering a cheeseburger or whatever else. And that seems to be what a lot of people find their experience with Steam and with finding new games to play, not just to buy, right? With Humble Bundles and all of these other things, it's very, very easy to get those games. On the flip side of things, the process in talking to developers like Craig and all of the various other developers we work with, we kind of found out that the process of getting an indie game out there and getting it noticed is also something that really sucks. And Craig, of course, can speak to this far better than I can because it's his actual challenge. But what we wanted to do then is we wanted to see if we could find something that solves both the problem of finding the thing that I want to play or finding something that particularly connects with me, especially if I'm not somebody who finds the sort of realistic warfare shooter particularly compelling, right? Because that seems like that's so much of the AAA industry's output right now. Well, how do I find the stuff that I actually want to be playing? And, can I solve that? Can we solve that problem at the same time we're solving the problem for independent developers getting their games discovered? Indie devs, after all, don't really have the marketing budget behind them that a studio like EA or Blizzard has behind them. They can't sink $50, $100 million into marketing budgets. And it's telling that when you look at big studio projects, big studio projects spend 2/3 of their budget on marketing on average now. And that's nuts. That's not something a smaller studio, even if we're talking about a game that has, 5-person team and let's say $250,000 in funding or even $500,000 in funding or $1 million in funding, they can't really afford to market in that same way. So how do they get their games out there? And we think by creating a subscription service, we're sort of incentivized as a company to make sure that we're getting players in front of the things they want to play, not just the things that look bright and shiny, because that keeps them around for us. And then in doing that, we help match indie games with the people who are actually going to play them instead of sort of the process being more like spitting into a river, especially now with the advent of things like Steam Direct. Steam is very hard to get your game noticed on. And we're hoping to make it so that developers, especially those with experiences that are maybe a little outside of the mainstream, get in front of the people who want to play them so they get paid. And so those players can, play those games that maybe are outside of the mainstream. I realize that was a little long-winded, but...
No, it was so concise. You gave me some really specific examples and some great imagery there. You've effectively created a talking refrigerator, if I understand it correctly.
Talking refrigerator. I like that. I'm going to have to use that at some point.
So now, I guess on the flip side now, as you alluded to, Vikram, Craig, let's hear from you a little bit. I understand that there's a lot of competition. It's a very crowded, almost noisy space, and you have to try and stand out amongst so many things. I think I saw in an article about Dropleaf that there's something like 400 games a month that are trying to compete for that space on Steam, for instance. What's that like as a developer, and how has the partnership then gone when you hear something like Dropleaf making the idea to help you push your things out to find people to customize it that way?
Yeah, so it's certainly daunting realizing like, hey, you've invested time and money into creating this really game that this awesome game that you're close to, and you want other people to play it. A service like Dropleaf is appealing in a couple ways. The first one is that it's curated. So it is somebody, a human, looking at it and saying like, you know what, this is a particularly fun game. This is something that other people would probably like. It's not just aggregated through data, whereas you'll get a lot of possibly low quality games that a lot of people are trying out or playing, and that skews data usually. But Dropleaf is highly curated, which is one thing that's definitely appealing, because the people who are going to play it are going to want to play it, because it's been, Dropleaf tells them that this is for them. This is a game that they're going to enjoy. And so that's certainly appealing. And as an indie, it is hard to get the word out on your game. Usually, you kind of dive between two different groups of people. And one is like, we iterate quickly. Indies iterate a lot quicker than AAA games, which means that we don't have to announce a big title necessarily every 3 or 4 years or something like that. We could literally put up a couple GIFs of a prototype we made. And if it goes viral or if anybody is into it, then that's what we tend to work on. So what you'll get is these huge influxes of PR or, virality, and people will look at it and they'll like it, but then it'll be gone. So with a service like Dropleaf, it effectively kind of takes what would usually be a big spike in PR and spreads it out. So you can get a lot of people liking and playing your game, and that builds a community, which is really what it's all about.
Now, it seems like 5 years ago, Craig, that like making an app was the thing. You have to have an app. You got to have an app to make money. Okay, on and on. That's a hugely congested market too. But I hear more and more and more, and I guess it's probably technology that's helping, about indie gaming as an option. What is the appetite like right now for the indie gaming? How has the world changed for the indie gaming environment?
So people are vicious. People are really wanting indie games. And the thing is, they're not just wanting one every 3 months like they would a AAA game. They want 5 indie games in a month to play. They really want to try a lot of them out. They want to talk about them with their friends. They want to be the one that kind of goes, it's just like finding a good band or a good song. You see it first and you want to tell your friends. And that's exactly what games are moving towards, which is exciting, because if you have something that does play well or does look good, people want it. They want to take it and they want to share it, and they want to be the first one to tell all their friends.
And we can tell by your enthusiasm too that you're excited about it, and that there is an appetite to be met there. Fantastic. Now, 2 months in now for Dropleaf, I think you first started making the beta available 2 months ago about now. What's the response been like, Vikram?
The response has been really positive in general. We're certainly not huge yet, and we're just sort of starting our core advertising efforts and starting to work on, all of the various rather boring technical stuff that goes into getting a product out there and getting a product into its audience. So I spend a lot of time right now worrying about things like sales flow optimization and all of that stuff. So that's kind of where we are in terms of advertising and really starting to scale. But the response that we've got has been great. We walked into, we've gone to a couple of conventions now. We were at the Seattle Indies Expo recently. We were at Geek Girl Con. We're, of course, going to be at GE2 this weekend. And in general, anyone we've really talked to about this product has been pretty excited about it. It's been really great to see. And, it's as somebody who's sort of been eating, sleeping, and breathing this for about a year now, it's also very much the case that that seeing that response has been just the best motivation to keep pushing and keep working on things and, go through all of the tedious minutiae that go with running a business. So it's been really exciting. I think one of the really cool things that happened is when we were at the Seattle Indies Expo, we sort of tracked this, and roughly 50% of the people we talked to were willing to sign up on the spot. And, That requires a credit card. So these are people at a show walking by willing to type a credit card into like my tablet, basically, to sign up for a thing. And, seeing that percentage of people we talked to were willing to do that was amazing. And we had very similar traction at Geek Girl Con as well, In fact, the big thing we took away from that is we're going to be probably pushing our efforts on Mac a little further up the timeline, just because we did keep hearing, do you have a Mac client so many times? I think that was probably the most common question we got. And, you know, as much as the gaming space exists primarily on PCs, far more so than it does on Mac or Linux or anything else, it does seem like we have sort of a pretty good appeal with a very strong appeal with maybe more non-traditional gamers, with families. Parents absolutely love us because we save them a whole hell of a lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to, I think we might be, our next big feature pushes might be on, you know, some more family-friendly stuff, making the entire experience a little bit more, like, family-friendly, things like, kid safe mode or whatever you call that, and, you know, working on a Mac client as well. Those are relatively high priority for us.
Now, Vikram, you just said some like serious business words in there that I don't pretend to understand either.
Sorry.
No, that's fine, but because it's important. That's to my point. Like, Craig, as a developer who's making a game, what kind of relief does it give you that someone else can worry about that stuff so you can work on being creative and technical?
Oh, it's great. I mean, because essentially what Vikram does is he deals with the front end of, you know, trying to find people to play the game. And what all that does really is that kind of gives me a community, because that's one of the main things about making a game is you don't want to make it in a vacuum and you don't want to be, you know, having people play it and then have nobody to talk to. So essentially what he gives me is something that lasts forever. So he gives me people that play the game, and then in turn, I'm able to create a community and kind of take care of that community. So as I move on to another game, all those people that originally found me on Dropleaf through his platform, they stick with me and they stick with you. And the next game you build, and it's really fantastic, because that's the hardest thing to build. You know, you can, I mean, essentially, like Vikram was saying, with AAA advertisement, you can really pay money to make people play your game. Like, that is totally a thing, especially on mobile and anywhere else. But the hardest thing to do is to get people to stay and have them be part of a community. And that's really the beautiful part about this.
That's a fantastic idea. Again, it's called Dropleaf. Working in a beta environment right now, we'd love for you to come check it out. Vikram, I guess you'll be on hand. Craig, I don't think you're flying in for the event, but
not this time.
We'll see Vikram out at GE2 this weekend. Come by and learn more about indie games. We're going to have a bunch of people there that represent that community, which, if I understand correctly, Vikram, is pretty huge in Seattle right now.
It is. We have a great indie scene out here. There are tons of developers working on lots of cool things, and we're excited to be able to support those devs as they build their products and as they go to market. And we're actually going to be demoing some of the games on our service on GE2's tech stage on Sunday at Margo sent me the time for this on Sunday at 2:40, and so we will be on stage, and you can check out Warcube and Yono and the Celestial Elephants, which is genuinely the cutest thing I've ever seen, and a few other of the great games on our service.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time today.
Thank you.